You ever been called into the principal's office and he says, have a seat here? That's never a good thing. Listen, this morning I am excited. I just noticed, and don't throw rocks and stones and spit at me or anything, but I've noticed that as a church, we're growing, but not necessarily numerically. We tend to be getting rounder. Anybody's throwing rocks yet? No? Well, what's that? Throw your shoe. Well, you don't wear them, so you may as well. Anyway. So what we've done is we have decided that we need to bring in a fitness trainer. Somebody that can snap us into shape and get us feeling good and get us motivated so that we move forward. We want to be in just the best condition we can possibly be in. And this morning, the trainer's here, and I'm waiting for him. He's supposed to be here, but he has not come in yet, but I'm looking for him. I'm really anxious about this. I hope you guys are ready. Everybody do this so we can just start working our arms and getting them loosened up. Working our arms. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. Hold your arms out like this. And now let's just, we're loosening up here. Let's go in circles. All right. Now backwards. Okay. Now, we go one each way. One forward, one backwards. Oh, some of you talented people can do it. I can do that with my leg. I'm still waiting for our fitness trainer. He must be awful slow today. But I'm sure he's going to be here. And I'm positive that today you're going to go home feeling better than you felt in a long time. And so just as soon as he gets here, he'll be coming on in, and we can get started with our exercise, with our training, with our...
As I'm saying up front, I was worried that Dennis was trying to pull a fast one on us because he kept talking about everyone being round, and I thought he was going to announce that I was pregnant, and I'm like, I didn't know.
Oh, here he comes, here he comes. All right.
Let me catch my breath. I'm your new fitness instructor. Nancy, would you get started on 15 jumping jacks for me? Yeah, I'm wore out. Woo. I tell you, this exercise stuff isn't for me. Man. You know, when you're this size, working out, man. You know, but I have been working out. I've lost 69 pounds. So I have been working out.
I found them.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah. You know, when people go to the gym, they take their phones with them. Well, here is my impression of Eric Woodley at the gym just talking to his buddies. Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, I got a good picture to show you. You like this picture? Yeah, here it is. Oh, hey. Oh. Yeah, it's a fancy donut. Oh. Yeah, this isn't a donut. It's an energy ring. And I need all the energy I can get at my age. Yeah. Woohoo. Hey, you know. But now, here's my impression of Eric when a pretty girl comes by. Oh. Oh, she's gone. Woo! Thank you. Oh, and then you go, look at God.
You know, the other day I had a dream. Eric and I had both died and gone to heaven. Now, to get to heaven was a steep hill. So I start jogging. I get maybe a quarter of the way up that hill, and I'm wiped out. So I sit down, and I'm trying to catch my breath. Eric comes by. Dan, what's wrong? I says, I'm tired. I'm wore out. You know, this exercise, you know, even though I'm dead, I'm just getting to the pearly gates here, you know. I'm tired. I can't make it. Go on ahead. I'll get up there eventually. No, Dan, I'll help you out. Just get on my back. I'll carry you up. Eric, you don't have to do that. Oh, I can do that. Come on, get on my back. I'll give you a piggyback ride. We'll get up there. Okay, so I get on his back, and he just jogs up, barely breaks a sweat. We get to the pearly gates. St. Peter's there. Dan, welcome. Come on in, but you're going to have to leave your donkey outside. Oh. You know, I do dream a lot. I had a dream the other day that Gene and I had died and gone to heaven. To get to heaven, you had to climb up this ladder. And down at the very bottom, this angel had a piece of chalk. He says, okay, if you get up to heaven, you got to climb the ladder. You got to march each rung with this chalk for every sin you've ever committed in your life. So Gene says, oh, I'll go first. So he goes, and all of a sudden, he's coming back down. Gene, what's going on? I ran out of chalk. I probably shouldn't be picking on Gene. He's helped me fix my brakes in my car tomorrow. But you know, hey, you know. And you know, here a few years ago, and Gene and T and some of you that were here should remember this. About, I don't remember, about 7, 8 years ago maybe. I was out at the fair working for the reserve unit, Sheriff's Department. I broke my shoulder. And I tell you, that was painful. I didn't notice it until that thing called adrenaline wore off. Yeah, then you can feel pain. You know what pain. And then the stupid ambulance guy, I don't know who he was, don't you usually take off the good arm shirt and then slide the shirt down or cut the thing off? I didn't pay for it. Well, I guess I did. I am a taxpayer. But, you know, cut the thing off. I broke my shoulder. No, he tries taking my good or my bad shoulder off first. So I'm in pain. I'm ready to belt this guy. Well, I get up to the hospital. I'm laying there. And the nurse said, well, the doctor's ordered an x-ray. Okay. So I'm looking for this nice little, cute little teeny bopper coming in. And no. They sent me Attila the Hun. Oh, was she ugly. Oh, man. She looked like a hippo in pantyhose. I tell you, she was ugly. She takes me into the x-ray room, and I'm like, you know, got on that little ugly hospital gown. I'm like, ma'am, it's cold in here. I says, it's cold enough you could hang meat. She says, yeah, I know, and you're it. And then, you know, with the technology today, you would think they would learn how to warm an x-ray table. I got on that thing, and I tell you, I like to froze. And I like it cool. I really do. I love being cool. But you know, with this weight loss, I've noticed I get colder a lot faster. You know, I got something coming up here in about a week and a half. It's called a birthday. I am getting old, y'all. I'm going to be 43 years old. And I know to some of you, that's young. You know, but you know, I thought I'd be married by now. You know, I thought I'd be married by the time I was 33, because you know, the Lord laid down his life when he was 33. You know, but you know, being single ain't so bad. You know, I got a piece of celery in my refrigerator that's got longer hair on it than Crystal Gale. You know, and sheets. Who cares about sheets? I don't change my sheets. When one pair disintegrates, I just put on a new pair. You know, it's like, you know, I'm just a single guy. You know, and my mom always was on me, but clean your room. Yeah, like every other kid, everything goes in the closet. There, it's clean. Then I can't find anything. But you know, I tell people, when they tell me, well, how come you ain't married yet? I tell them this, just remember, every time you pray, you're praying to a single adult. For years, you know, I've been trying to perfect a love song. And I need somebody to help me with it, to practice it. Sherry, would you come up here, please? This here is called, some of you will remember this from the days of the baptistry boys. Some of you are like, who? This is called the wear chair. So, I need somebody to tell me if this is a good love song or not. Now, unfortunately, it's going to be way off key because I can't sing. I just can't wait till I get to heaven so God can tune that voice of mine. So here we go. Where, oh, where are you tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone? I've searched the church over and thought I found true love. But you met another and You were gone. Is that a good love song? Oh, okay. So you didn't like it. Oh, man. Okay, well, you know. No, I really don't. That was the only one. Well, hey, I am over 35. I can run for president next year. How about this? I will come up with a song for a presidential candidacy. I'm going to run for president. You know, I was going to pick Talisa as my vice president, but she has this problem with submission, so I can't really do that. I'm sorry. I'm only repeating what I heard Gene say. You know, but I'm going to change the name of the song, and I'm not going to sing it because I haven't perfected it. Well, actually, somebody else perfected it for me, but it would not be God Bless the USA. It would be called God Help the USA. Well, thank you, and I will be in the back, so you can sign up for any of my fitness classes and that, so we'll see you.
Many people have many talents, and we like to see those here. I've known for years that Dan has a talent for humor, and he's shown it. He's a funny guy, and what a way to share it, to lift our spirits a little. Actually, today, we're going to be talking about laughing. And here's the reason. I think as Christians, sometimes we take life way too seriously. We look at everything as catastrophe. We look at things and it's like, God, what are you going to dump on me next? And we forget that God has for us a desire and a plan that we have joy. There was a wise man that once said, joy in Christ requires a commitment to working at the Christian lifestyle. Folks, listen. Salvation comes as a gift, but the joy of salvation demands disciplined action. Most Christians that I've known and still do have just enough gospel in them to make them miserable. Just enough. But not enough to make them joyful. They know enough about the biblical message to keep them from doing the things that the world tempts them to do. They know what's wrong, they know what's right, and they know just enough about the Bible to stay away from those things or to resist those things. But they don't have enough of a commitment to God to do those things through which they might experience the fullness of His joy. It works like this. A problem comes along, and I just get beat down by it. It whips me. It hurts me. And I just go lower and lower, and depression or sadness, whatever happens, I lose. I believe in God. I believe God can take care of it. I believe everything that I give to God, He will take care of. And only the things that I hold on to are the things that hurt me. And I go to Scripture and I look at the Bible and I see where the Bible says that God has plans to prosper me. It doesn't say He has plans to make me rich. It says He has plans to prosper me. In other words, to pour Himself into me in such a way that I can enjoy this beautiful life He's given me. He doesn't say I won't have problems. He doesn't say I won't have burdens. He just says He'll be there with me to take me through it. And He says, come unto me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest, for my burden is light. We as Christians, we're good about the salvation thing. I lifted my voice to God and I said, God, here I am, your child. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Let me follow you. Let me do what you would have me to do. And I received Christ, and what an exciting thing. And then I studied the Bible. And I read in the Bible about how great God is and the plans that He has for my life and the things that He wants to do and how long He's known me. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, He says, what? I knew you. He knew you. And because He knew you and He knows you, He wants to be a part of your life. But Christian, we don't apply it. You know what? It's always amazed me how Christians can entrust their eternal state to God. And if I was to ask you, how many here, and I'd hope you'd answer it this way, if I was to say, how many of you are going to heaven if you were to die right now, I hope every hand in the place would go up, because I know that's what God's promised. I received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and I know that when this life is over, I've got a better life, a better place to go. But oh, Christian, we live in a world that is pressing and trying and difficult, and problems come. And you know what happens? We see the Christian walking just like this, not giving it to God, not trusting Him. He said, you are to have this spirit of joy that the world looks at you and they see me in you and they see the joy that I have given to you. People say, oh, now listen, This is good, and I believe the Bible says this, but you know what? It's harder to live. No. No. The hardest thing you can do is hold on to the trouble. The hardest thing you can do is own it and say, I can't let go of it. The hardest thing to do is to try and deal with it yourself, because it's going to beat you down and beat you down and beat you down, lower and lower and lower, and you want to scream out and say, God, help me! But you don't know how to let Him. Sound real? Does it fit? This is life. But the truth is, God is always there so that we can have that joy. The Bible, we see where there's a lot of humor and a lot of laughter, really, in things that maybe at the time could have been taken very seriously. See, humor is a natural medicine that we simply must have more of. Laughter may not cure cancer, but it really can lighten the sadness, the confusion, the hurt, and uncertainty that comes with cancer. Humor will probably not secure a job in a down economy, but it sure can ease the load and keep us from self-pity and make our joblessness endurable so that we can count our many blessings. Humor may not be able to stop all the craziness and the inhumanity in the world, but it can certainly serve as a reminder of the best and the most humane possibilities that endure in us as human beings. I started this year, if you remember, all the way back to January, and I started talking about joy. And one of the truths of joy is holy laughter. Holy laughter. God wants us to laugh. And it's okay. And He shows us in His Word so many things that are so funny. But all too often, people picture God as is this God sitting up there on His throne. And now, I'm not disrespecting Him at all. I want nothing but to respect God and to love God. But you know what? I think God's got a sense of humor. And I think Scripture shows us that He's got a sense of humor. And He wants us to laugh. But we picture Him there in this stern chair looking down at everybody and saying, okay, you're in, you're not, you're in, you're in, you're not. No. God is up there and He's just pouring Himself into people, and He laughs as we laugh. He wants us to laugh in season and out of season. You say, does He really? She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Proverbs 31:25. there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun or under heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Luke 6, 21. One of the foundational stories in the Bible or in the Old Testament involves laughter. And I want to talk about it. It's the story of Sarah and Abraham. And I think it is a really funny story. I really do. And when we look at it, I think we see the humor there. Genesis 17, it all starts out there in verse 17. And it started with Sarah and Abraham. In Genesis 16 and 17, we hear laughter for the first time in the Bible. And in that chapter, Abraham and Sarah are given new names. Abram is given the name of Abraham, so he goes from being exalted father, that's Abram, to Abraham, which means father of many. Sarai, his wife, Sarai meant princess, she was given a new name, and that new name was Sarah, which means a princess. I'm sorry, first was my princess, then a princess. As they're given these names, they establish a new and a free and a blessed people. God's promised to them similar things before, where he said, you will have children, you'll be the father of a great nation, and he's told them these things. In Genesis 15, God promised that Abram would have a son. And no son came, so Sarai took matters into her own hands and gave her maidservant Hagar to Abram. Hagar conceived and gave birth to Ishmael. Abram at that time was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Well, now we jump forward a little bit into verse 17, and God comes again to Abram, now Abraham, and promises a son through Sarah. He says, I promised you a son through Sarah, not the maidservant, not somebody else. I said through Sarah. Abram has been thinking that Ishmael is the child of God's promise, but God tells him that the child is coming from Sarah. I'm just curious. How many of you have ever heard of Maria del Carmen Busada de Lara? No? Okay, this is your trivia fact for the day. She is the oldest verified mother in modern times. She was aged 66 years, 358 days when she gave birth to twins in December of 2006. The sad part about that is she died 2 years later from cancer. Abraham in our story is almost 100 years old. Sarah is 90, and here God comes and talks about giving him a son. And he names the son. The son is to be named Isaac. Does anybody know what Isaac means? He laughs. He laughs. I haven't heard, other than when Dan's in here, I want to hear a good belly laugh from you. Can you guys give me one of those? You know, a belly shaker? For some of us, it's easier. All right, one, two, three. That's pitiful. You ever laugh until it hurt? You imagine? God comes and you're going to name your son. He laughs at your age. The Lord comes to Abraham through three men or angels, and Abraham shows them hospitality. And Sarah is preparing a meal for them while the four of them talk outside the tent. Inside the tent, Sarah overhears the promise of a son through her. And we find Sarah laughing about this. Listen, ladies, you're 90 years old. And now you're going to have a baby. Do you laugh or cry? You know, it's coming from God. What are you going to do? And And so she laughs. And at first glance, it may seem that the God rebukes Sarah for her laughter, but is Sarah laughing because of skepticism? Is it scoffing laughter? Is hers the kind of laughter that is unnatural in a situation like hers? Honest response would be no. Who wouldn't have laughed at Abraham's and Sarah's situation? They're decades beyond picking up their first Social Security check. They've been on Medicare so long, they can't remember not being on it. You think of it, Medicare benefits are going to cover the cost of a new baby. Donna, does that work? There's no child protection with Medicare? No, okay, all right. I just wondered if that might be in there. Would that be hilarious? Would that be hilarious if Medicare had a clause in it for pregnancy? Now, that'd be funny. God does question Sarah. She's laughed instead of going crazy. Why God doesn't question Abraham, we don't know. But God calls out Sarah and shows her a lie on her part. But you notice that the God and Sarah talk, and God makes no judgment, even when Sarah denies that she laughed. God wanted Sarah to laugh, if nothing else, for the name of the child, Isaac. He laughs. God might be saying, do you know how comical, how wonderfully funny you and all the rest of my creation is to me? Yeah, and I think sometimes God may even look at us as we look at ourselves and take ourselves way too seriously. And he says, don't you know? You can laugh. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenge, whatever trial, whatever it is that's consuming your thoughts, give it to me and laugh, because it's going to pass. Folks, let me tell you something. We've only got 70, 80, 90, 100 years, maybe, if we're lucky, on this planet. Everything's temporary. Everything here is going to be destroyed at some point. We can laugh. We can laugh. And our struggles and our troubles and our trials are only temporary. We just love to hold on to them way too much. Not only are Abraham and Sarah laughing, but now everyone around's laughing as we read, as would be reading the story. And we notice how when we see someone laughing, we want to let ourselves be in on the joke. That was Sarah's plan. She'd gotten a surprise gift and she wanted to share her joy. I'm going to keep going on this, but I got to tell you. And Frank had to step out for a minute. I was going to pick on him for a minute. But one of the things that I noticed with Frank coming to the church, and folks, if you don't know Frank, get to know him. He's got a great sense of humor. And he's got a way of twisting things around and making them funny. He likes to use puns. And Mary Sue and I actually came up with a way, because he really takes his humor seriously. He really does. And Mary and Sue came, and I came up with a way the other day, because we don't want Frank to feel bad. So he's not in here. He's missing this. But you remember this. And when you talk to Frank, especially since he's not in here, it'd be our little secret, okay? Shh. All right, Mary Sue, don't tell him. But when Frank tells you a story, oh, I can't finish that now, because Frank, could you go back in there for a minute, please? Okay, when he tells you a story or a pun, just look at him and do this. One, two, three, and then laugh. He feels so good. He really does, because you laughed at his humor and it just lifts his spirits. So everybody just remember that. Okay, one, two, three. Okay, you guys got it? All right. Okay. Frank, you can come on in. I didn't mean to kick you out of the service. Come on in. That's all right. I'm sorry. We were talking about God. You. 1, 2, 3. You can sit down now, Frank. The gift of humor. And there's benefits to laughter. So let me just share quickly some of the benefits of laughter. I think that the Sarah and Abraham story are so funny and everything that happened there, and I think God laughed. But there is a great deal that helps us that is good for us when it comes to humor. Laughter helps us to keep from taking ourselves too seriously. You got to understand that. We take things way too seriously. We blow things up. There's a little discussion in the family and a little bit of nitpicking. And did you hear about my cousin so-and-so and what they said to me? And it gets exploded. It blows way out of proportion. We take ourselves too seriously. And God just says, laugh. It's good for you. Don't take yourself so seriously. Now, I'll be honest. My humor, it's kind of dry sometimes. But I really enjoy seeing people laugh. Sometimes it's a few minutes later. Okay. Sometimes it's a few minutes later. But I still enjoy it. I still enjoy it. Being able to laugh at yourself may be a sign of an optimistic personality and a sense of humor that was shown in a study in 2011. And it might even improve your mood. Humor has also been identified as a possible factor in personal resilience. If you can laugh at yourself, you can forgive yourself. Did you know that? An author by the name of Susan Sparks, in a book she wrote, Laugh Your Way to Grace, says, and if you can forgive yourself, guess what? You can forgive others. Lighten up, folks. Lighten up. Happy is the person who can laugh at himself. He'll never be short on entertainment. Take God seriously, but don't take ourselves too seriously. The second thing here, laughter helps us heal physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Norman Cousins has documented how he participated in his own healing. Listen to this, by laughing himself back into good health. When he discovered that he had a heart ailment, he began taking massive amounts of vitamin C and making himself laugh. Later, he would be burdened with reactive arthritis, and he applied the same treatment to it. And he wrote about it in Anatomy of an Illness. And Cousins said that it made more joyous discovery. That 10 minutes of genuine belly laughter had a pain-killing effect on him that would last for up to 2 hours. Laughter. Just making you feel good. Laugh a little bit. Oh, I was in a situation a couple of weeks ago, and laughing, I did not want, I really didn't feel like laughing, but I couldn't help but laugh. I'm not going to tell you the story. It's kind of bad. Anyway. Laughter. Laugh at your situations. Laugh a little bit at life. Laugh at those things that want to beat you down. Laugh at them and laugh at yourself. You know, I love Dan. And Dan and I have a great time. We've shared memories and done things together. But one of the things Dan and I have done together, we've laughed. We've traveled together a little bit, and there's so much laughter takes place. There's secrets we can't share, because what happens at conference stays at conference. I think he told on me already. But laughter, and it's good for you. Guys, lighten up. I know things are tough, but we laugh. And we don't say, we just laugh and don't deal with them, but we laugh and we trust God with them. We laugh and we trust God with them. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Bucket List. Two guys are dying and they come up with this list of things they want to do before they die. And one of the things they wanted to do before they die was to have a laugh that hurt. That hurt their stomach. They laugh so hard. A belly-busting laugh. Guys, it's healthy. It's good for you. And it does help us to heal. Laughter also helps us maintain balance in a world that is overly serious and miserable. In her memoir, Growing Up Laughing, you may remember, it's called My Story. Marlo Thomas. How many of you remember Marlo Thomas? She's daughter of Danny Thomas. Yeah, some of you do, some of you are too young. But she tells how when she was growing up, her father, Danny Thomas, would ask her, "Anything funny happen at school today?" And largely because of her father's influence, Marlo included laughter and fun into the very fabric of her life. You know what? I try to do this to others. In a world as harsh as razor blades, as brutal as a sledgehammer, and as humorlessly vindictive as a cobra, should we not try a dose of laughing to offset all this misery? God wants us to. Now, I know this morning, as we said here, there's some of you that have it seems like it's just one struggle after another, and you just get through one battle and something else comes. Try laughing. Try laughing. You know who really wants to win by beating you down? And we don't talk enough about this, I really don't think, but Satan wants to win. He wants to beat you down. He wants the burdens and the problems, and I'm not even saying that he's the one that causes them, but sometimes he does. But he wants to beat you down. He doesn't want you to have this joy. Remember what I said, Christians, sometimes they just know enough to know they're Christians, but they've not done enough to know that there's joy in being a Christian. I love it. I can smile. I can laugh. I love the song. I can run. I can jump. I can sing. I think that's the song, but I can do whatever I want, and I can do it in the love of the Lord, and I can laugh and have fun. I don't have to be straight-faced all the time, and neither do you. God doesn't want you to. Yes, we have burdens. Give them to the Lord and just let it go. Learn to laugh. I don't know how to put it to you. And if we will learn that, if we will trust that, if we will take this concept that God wants us to have joy in our lives and we'll start applying it, we're going to see how all of these things in the world that would destroy us, how simple they are, because God's going to take care of them. And when I put it in God's hands, that's where it's going to stay. I don't want it. If I care enough to bring it to Him and to lay it in His lap, that's where it needs to be. Wow. Well, how can you laugh at this tragedy or that tragedy? Because God's got it. And I'm not laughing at the tragedy. I'm laughing at other situations. Because God's got everything under control. Laughter, it helps individuals and communities stay sane. There's mental health benefits. You know, laughter adds joy and zest to life. It eases anxiety and fear. It relieves stress. It improves mood. It enhances resilience. There's social benefits. It strengthens relationships. It attracts others to us. It enhances teamwork. It helps diffuse conflict. It promotes group bonding. Maya Angelou recalls that before the Civil War in the South, slaves had a practice of going to the Laughing Barrel. I've got to ask, Dana, did you study anything about the Laughing Barrel? Did I say it wrong? But you didn't answer my question. See, she tried to diffuse it there because she doesn't know the answer to the Laughing Barrel. I feel so good. You know what? I got to tell you, I'm so proud of my daughter. She will finish her master's degree in about 3 weeks. And it's been a long, hard process getting there. But she's done it, and I'm so happy for her. Oh, yeah, she's getting married, too. I guess I should throw that in there. You know, so. You can laugh at one and celebrate the other. You pick. I'm going to get a talking to after church today. Mary Angelou recalls before the Civil War in the South, slaves had a practice of going to the Laughing Barrel, and since my history major daughter doesn't know, I'll tell you what it is. And they would go there to express themselves. Laughing was not allowed on many, many plantations. So when they couldn't help themselves, when they just had to laugh, they'd go to a barrel and they'd lean way over in the barrel as if they were reaching for something way down in the bottom of the barrel, trying to receive something way down in the bottom of the barrel, that they, you know, make it look like they're trying to get it, and then they would just laugh themselves silly. That's how they dealt with it. Sometimes we just have to laugh, even if it means sticking our head in a barrel. And, you know, I got to tell you, there's an image of that in my mind. I just see myself at that barrel, all bent over, reaching down in there and just laughing, and I know what's sticking up. And you know what? Talisa would probably be around with a camera. And it would show up somewhere. Laughter. Laughter empowers us to live more and more into the image of God in which we were created. The Lord said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness," Genesis 1:26. Could it be that in laughing we behold an angle of God's personality? Could it be? It seems impossible to imagine God without a sense of humor. There are, of course, many times when He expects us to be serious. God doesn't commit practical jokes. He doesn't make fun of people. God doesn't laugh at sin. He is, however, playful. He wants us to have joy, as in His Word He tells us. And it's often easy to picture God as this stern ruler who is always serious and never smiling. But this, folks, is far, far from the actual truth. After all, He created man in His image. So He is capable then of every emotion that humans are able to experience. Think about that. A professor of Old Testament remarked one day, "Class, if you have never seen God smile, nor heard Him laugh, then you don't know Him very well." You know, preschool age children don't have to be told to laugh. Babies don't have to be told to laugh. They laugh naturally and a lot more often than adults do. And they do it in a stage of relevant innocence, and they laugh. Scripture says this, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Folks, laugh. Laugh. Enjoy life. Enjoy what God has given you, and don't take yourself so serious. There's no good comes for it. Yeah, I hear it, and I'm so glad to hear it. You ever notice the little children in church and they're laughing? They don't care. They don't care, and I think it's great. I don't know what you're doing to them, but I need them. I need them up here. You want to come up here and laugh? Oh no! I think we figured out how to shut it off. Listen. You know what it is to be a Christian. I just would love for you to learn what it is to have the joy of a Christian. To feel that inside. To know that God's got everything covered and you don't have to worry about it. I don't know how things are going to work out in many, many, many situations, but I know the one who does. And I can trust it to him, and I can laugh at the rest. I just want to share one more thing, and it's not in my notes, but it's just something I feel I want to share. There's something going on this morning. I don't know what it is. You do. It's in your life. It's some situation. And it may be physical. It may be health related. It may be financial and financially related. It may be relational. But there's something going on. And I know this. And as I look at everyone here, I see in your eyes that you have this going on. And before we dismiss today, I want you to let go of it. And here's how I want you to do it. I'd like for you to close your eyes. You may be thinking, how can he possibly know anything going on in my life? Folks, your life's not that different than mine. And God is reaching down to you today and he's saying, whatever that is, health issue, financial issue, relational issue, whatever it is, whatever that burden is, he calls you to lay it at the cross. And so this morning, as your eyes are closed, will you surrender that? In your mind, can you imagine yourself walking to the cross where Jesus was? Walking to the cross where Jesus hung? Can you imagine walking up to that cross and taking whatever it is that's got you weighed down? Whatever the burden, whatever the issue that is happening, that you're walking up to the cross. And I want you to see this in your mind and feel this in your heart. And you come to the cross and there's Jesus. And he's saying, I did all of this for you. I did this for you. That you might have life. Life eternal. And that you might have life abundant. And he's saying, just lay it down here. Put it down. Lay it at the feet of the cross and just let it go. He's calling and he's saying, you don't need to carry these burdens and these problems with you anymore. Do you see it? Do you see it? And I look at the cross. And his feet are bleeding. And his hands are bleeding. And yet he looks down to me and he says, I want your burdens. Let them go. Now the other part of what's going on today and the other part of what God has placed on my heart that I want you to understand. Right now, at this very moment, as we are sitting here together, a body of believers, if we could only see with spiritual eyes, We would look over this church, and what we would see going on over this church is a great heavenly battle where the armies of God are doing battle with the armies of Satan, where God's angels have swept down to be here, to be a part of defending you so that Satan can't have that victory in your life. And that's what it is. He wants to have victory in your life. He wants to take and rob you of all joy. He wants you to live in sorrow. He wants you to live in misery. But it's time to surrender it. The angels are fighting. They're battling for you. Oh, if we could look into the heavenly realms with heavenly eyes. And they've got you in mind. Can you let it go? Whatever it is. As I pray this morning, lay it down, folks. You are standing at the foot of the cross. And Jesus is saying, my arms are stretched out for you. Give me those burdens. Let them go. Receive and have that abundant life that I so want to give to you. The truth is, you're going to make a choice today. And you're going to walk away today carrying the same burdens you walked in with. Or you're going to walk away set free. Set free by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost living in you. Set free by the suffering Savior nailed to a cross for you. Yes, He took your sins, but He also calls you to take your burdens that you might have a life of joy. Heavenly Father, I lift my voice up to you. Father, I know that for myself, I'm battling my own struggles, my own issues. Father, I know that there's hurt and there's pain. Lord, I surrender it to you. I want that life of joy. And that peace that comes from knowing you're in charge and you've got everything under control. I just don't know the answers. So I lift it up to you. And Father, I pray for this congregation. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. And Father, just whatever it is that is holding them back, that is consuming them with worry and doubt and fear, I pray they would just lay it right now at the cross. Where Jesus paid the price. He came not only that we would have life, but that we would have it to the full. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for those angels that are doing battle right now for the affairs of our lives. And we pray for victory. Lord, we just lift this up to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.